Chapter 25. Tamaris Mountains, Divinus Prime. Antros lay on the mountainside, listening to the universe. The skies overhead were clear, an indigo crescent, edged with wisps of crimson cloud and speckled with the tiny silhouettes of eagles, wheeling lazily on distant thermals. There was no mirror, no serpentine horrors, just reality. But it was the chatter of minds that filled Antros with renewed hope. Mephiston had also brought an end to the silence of the miracle. With the death of Zarambus, the crushing, psychic void of Divinus Prime had been filled with sound. The voices of the Imperium once more echoed around Antros's skull. He could hear the tortured screams of astropathic choirs and the unknowable whispers of the Navis Nobilitae. Steering the Imperial Navy back to the world they had thought lost. Divinus Prime was saved, returned to the firm benevolence of the Imperium. So how could Mephiston be anything other than a hero? Antros groaned as he struggled to lift himself into a sitting position. Mephiston was standing a few feet away, near the prone figure of Racilus. At first, Antros thought Racilus might be dead, but then he noticed that the librarian was twitching and muttering in pain. Racilus's chest was cocooned in some kind of psychic shell, a glimmering web of energy that sparked and danced across his armour. Mephiston was not looking at his old friend. He stood right at the cliff edge, looking out across the peaks of the Tamaris Mountains. Antros stared at him in confusion. Mephiston brought a world back within reach of the Emperor's light. There were millions of pilgrims and priests scattered across Divinus Prime that would now have a chance at salvation. Mephiston had also hauled him back from whatever hellish realm he had fallen into. And yet, Antros pictured again the moment Mephiston had looked at the witch and let her go. There had been no doubt in the chief librarian's eyes. He had nodded quite deliberately before letting her dive to freedom, taking the blade petrific with her. What did that mean? How could that be anything other than the action of a traitor? Mephiston spoke, as though sensing Antros's thoughts.
The fleet will take a few weeks to reach the planet and lift us from Mormotha, he said.
Antros frowned.
We wait for the fleet. Why not return the way we came?
Mephiston shook his head and looked down at his still trembling fist.
We will travel behind the safety of a Gellerfield, as we should have done when I brought us here. I have made enough mistakes.
Antros looked down at his ruined body. His power armor had been crushed by whatever warp creature had been dragging him into the Immaterium. When Mephiston's blazing form had plunged in after him, the ceramite plates had already been slicing into his muscles. By the time Mephiston had hauled him back to reality, he looked as ruined as Vulgatis. He tried again to move, but he still could not feel his legs. He wondered how Mephiston imagined they would cross the miles back to the capital. Antros rested his hand on his bolt pistol, thinking the unthinkable as he considered all that he had seen. The scale of his doubt staggered him. Since the moment of his insanguination, he had believed that the chief librarian had been saved by Sanguinius himself, cured of bloodlust and madness as a proof of what the chapter could still be, proof that their bloodline could still yet be saved. But now he had seen Mephiston use his power to aid a chaos-worshipping witch, a heretic who stole a relic so powerful thousands had died trying to protect it. How could such power have come from the angel? There was a blast of white noise from Mephiston's vox, and then a voice cut through the din.
Nothing,
said Captain Vitrinus, in his usual blunt tones. Mephiston shook his head.
Look again. I know there are dragoons hiding in the caves to the east. We cannot leave any remnants of that army intact.
Chief Librarian, said Vitrinus, then severed the link. Antros slowly raised the pistol.
Perhaps you will kill me, Lexicanium Antros, said Mephiston calmly, without turning around. But not today.
Antros stared at the gun, horrified by the accusation, but knowing it was fair.
We are transitory beings, Antros, said Mephiston. To live is to change. We do not remember what we were yesterday, or know what we will be tomorrow.
Mephiston looked down into the valley at the smouldering wreckage of Volgatis. With the death of Zarambus, his golems had become lifeless stone once more. Even from here, their shattered forms were visible, sprawled across the ruins.
Perhaps I will never know who saved me that day, continued Mephiston, lowering his voice. Perhaps I will never know who plucked Calistarius from Hades' hive and created this monster called Mephiston. But I know what I am now, what I am in this moment.
He stood up and turned to face Antros. There was no trace of emotion in his features.
The blood of Sanguinius is in my veins, Antros. I know it. And the angel sees more and further than those two damned sorcerers could ever dream of. They cared nothing for the souls on this world, Antros. They came here to compete for a prize. I realized that the moment I met Zarambus. For all the incredible power required to create it, the miracle was just a discreet veil flung over Divinus Prime to hide a trivial game they were playing to amuse their master.
Their master? Gasped Antros. Mephiston nodded and held up the little iron bolt he had taken from Archcardinal Dravus at the amphitheatre. A ghost of a smile played around the edges of his thin lips.
I have him, Antros.
Antros shook his head, confused.
I have tried for decades to locate the scourge of this sector, Antros, the puppet master behind all these pointless wars.
Mephiston looked up at the eagle circling overhead.
But he is so clever, so powerful. I have never been able to even glimpse his shadow. I have to admit, it took me a while to realize why the angel allowed Saint Ophiusa to call me here. I thought it was so I could save myself.
He glanced at his hand, and Antros saw that it was twisted at a peculiar, painful-looking angle, the flesh almost entirely transparent in places. Behind his armor, Mephiston was burning away, fading into darkness.
It was only on Mormotha that I saw it. But now I understand.
Understand what? Antros was now engrossed in Mephiston's words, his despair supplanted by a sudden rush of hope.
I was not brought here to save myself. There is no salvation for me. The Blade Petrific is not a cure or a harness for my gift. I see that now.
Then why was Ophiusa able to call you here? What were all your visions and auguries pointing to?
I see it clearly now. The monster that plagues the Cronian sector is no longer beyond my reach. He was so engaged in his arrogant, callous little game that his mask slipped. He has revealed his face.
Mephiston held up the bolt, swinging it on its chain.
That witch is rushing straight home to claim her prize, Antros. Rushing to present the Blade Petrific to her master. She will be my guide.
He closed his eyes and tilted his head back.
Look.
Antros watched with delight as the sky rolled away like mist, revealing the galaxy whirling overhead. Stars and clusters of stars turned around the mountaintop. It looked like an astrolabe made of diamonds, with every system and spiral arm linked by the same intricate network Antros had seen in the chemic spheres. Mephiston led Antros's mind across the heavens, and he saw their fleet rushing towards them, vast battle barges tearing into real space and hurtling towards Divinus Prime. Then Mephiston led his mind further and showed him something else. A starship was soaring away from Divinus Prime, a small, sleek craft, unmarked and glimmering with stealth shields.
The witch, breathed Antros.
As the ship translated from real space and slipped from view, Antros gasped with pleasure. It had left behind it a silver thread, a luminous trail that hung down through the stars and traced all the way back to the Tamaris Mountains, and the tiny bolt held between Mephiston's fingers.
That's why you let her go, whispered Antros.
Mephiston nodded, and Antros saw something he had never expected to see. The chief librarian, smiling.
The blade petrific was never meant to save me from destruction, Antros. The power of Sanguinius cannot be tempered. I see that now. I am not destined to be saved, but I am destined to save our chapter, to prove that we are worthy heirs of Sanguinius. I do not need to control the gift. I need to live long enough to unleash it in the right place.
He held the bolt up against the sky, looking through it, his breath billowing in the bitter mountain air.
And now, I have a map.
That was Mephiston, Blood of Sanguinius, by Darius Hicks. Read by Richard Reed. This recording is copyrighted to Games Workshop 2020.
Audible hopes you've enjoyed this programme.